tatty-looking wool coat. His hair looked as if it hadn't been combed in a week and hadn't been washed in Lord knows how long. "The pump won't take my card," Charlie complained. "Yeah, I know," the kid said, his voice raspy. "No electricity. We lost power about a half an hour ago. Soon as my pop comes to pick me up, I'm out of here."
"Don't you have a manual pump?"
"Nope."
"How do I get gas?" Charlie demanded.
"Beats me," the kid said.
The Pentagon, Situation Room.
"Where are they now?" General Higgins asked.
"Over the Pacific, approaching Japan," replied General Scheib, pointing to the electronic map on the wall screen. A tiny winking light gave the position of Able One. A thin trace of blue line showed its course so far. Scheib wondered if Higgins couldn't see the map clearly. Maybe he's nearsighted or something. Higgins had loosened his tie and hung his blue jacket on the back of his chair. The Situation Room looked lived in. Plastic coffee cups dotting the oblong conference table, the cart that once held pastries and other snacks now bearing nothing but crumbs and three empty stainless steel urns. Zuri Coggins had moved from her seat at Higgins's right hand down the table to be next to Michael Jamil, who was still bent over his iPod. He had connected it wirelessly to the DOD computer that served the Situation Room and was slaving away over calculations of some sort. On the wall opposite the big map, screens showed satellite views of North Korea. The two missiles still stood on their launch pads. No sign of the troops that Pyongyang had reportedly sent, but the satellite imagery was spotty at best. The admiral, seated halfway down the table, looked up from his laptop screen.
"The Russian planes have turned back," he said, looking relieved.
Like Higgins, the admiral had long since taken off his jacket and hung it on the back of his chair.
"They got a damn good look at our plane," Higgins muttered.
General Scheib nodded. He was on his feet, pacing the length of the Situation Room as if he were doing his daily exercises.
"They can't tell much from the exterior," Scheib said, trying to sound reassuring.
But then he added, "Of course, that turret on the nose could be a giveaway. There's been enough publicity about the airborne laser that they'll recognize ABL from that potato nose." General Higgins shot an angry look at him, and Scheib remembered the general's possum nickname. "Smart," he berated himself. "Real smart."
"Who's flying the plane?" Higgins asked. "I hope we've got a good man at the controls."
Scheib started for his chair, and the notebook computer opened on the table in front of it. "This was supposed to be a test run for them," he said to Higgins. "They weren't expecting this crisis."
"Who the hell was?"
Scheib sat and pecked at his notebook. "Damn security red tape," he muttered, his head bent over the tiny keyboard. "Slows everything down." Jamil looked up from his calculations.
"I think it's imperative that we send a warning to the civil defense operations in Honolulu, Hilo, Anchorage, Juneau."
"Not San Francisco?" one of the civilians asked.
Jamil looked up the table at General Higgins. Very calmly, he replied, "I seem to be the only one here who's worried about San Francisco." Higgins made a sound halfway between a grunt and a snort. Gently, Coggins asked,
"You still think it's possible they've targeted San Francisco?"
"I do. And we ought to be watching what the Chinese are doing. Watching very carefully.
There doesn't seem to be anything unusual. They've put their missiles on high alert, haven't they?"
"Well, so have we, and the Russians."
"And the Iranians?" Jamil asked.